Hebrews chapter number 3, beginning at verse 7. We're going to read down through verse 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear, you will hear His voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Can you say amen? You may be seated. What I want to preach on this morning is the wandering judgment. The wandering judgment. The passage that I just read to you in our text reveals God's judgment against those that have hardened their hearts and refused to believe. As a matter of fact, it makes it clear that belief at one time was present within them, but they chose to cease to believe and trust God. Notice that belief and obedience are linked in this passage. Today there are so many that see no correlation between belief and behavior. If you do not believe, then you do not obey, then you don't believe anything. Our belief in Christ, our faith leads to obedience. For faith without works is dead. And if you love me, keep my commandments. I want you to understand, your belief is going to affect your behavior. Your belief is going to affect how you react to God. If you believe Him, you're going to obey Him. If you don't believe Him, you're going to rebel. Amen. Hallelujah. There is always a direct change in behavior that's predicated by belief. The Bible clearly tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want you to understand this morning, amen, if you're in Christ, it's going to bring a change of behavior. Hallelujah. One of the chief indicators of a person being in Christ is going to be a new lifestyle. If a person claims to be in Christ, but they're still committing known and habitual sin and making an excuse for it, that person does not know Christ. I want you to know, if Jesus did anything for me when He saved me, Brother Steve, He gave me an attitude towards sin that's the same as His attitude. God hates sin. Therefore, when I know Him, I'll hate sin like He does. Yes. If I still love sin, then I don't love Him. Come on, somebody. I said, if I still love to sin, I don't know Him. Even to know Him is to hate sin. To know Him is to despise unrighteousness. To know Him is to love the commands of God. To know Him is to obey Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The New Testament presents the Hebrew people as an example to the church on how to live and how not to live. Usually the examples we find in the New Testament concerning the Hebrew people are negative. I hate to admit that, but that's usually the case. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. It gives us this, amen, picture of the Hebrew people. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized in the Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, which is Christ, which followed them. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 died in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were devoured or destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for our example, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I want you to know the Hebrew people are set up before you and I this morning as an example of how not to live. He said don't murmur like they murmured. Don't commit adultery. Don't fornicate. Don't be an idolater. He said, don't do as they did. He said, they're in the Bible for an example for you and I on how not to live. And if you disobey and you do what they did, then you're going to suffer the wrath of God like they suffered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to heed the experiences of Israel and learn from their failures. We must learn from history. One man said, if history teaches us anything, it is that nobody learns the lessons of history. I said, my God, help us. I don't want to have to learn everything the hard way. I want to be able to learn the lesson of history. If I saw God came and killed 23,000 because of fornication, it ought to tell me not to fornicate.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Why do I have to learn it the hard way?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is written so we can learn from the experiences of others. So we can learn from their downfall. I've often wondered in my mind, why don't the Bible just give us good positive examples? Amen. Why does it just tell us about Noah building the ark? Why don't it just tell us about David killing Goliath? Amen. Come on, somebody. But the Bible's full of examples, especially the Old Testament, of men who failed.
Yeah.
We see Samson's failure in visiting the prostitute Delilah. We see David's failure in committing adultery, amen, with Bathsheba. We see failures throughout the scripture. Solomon built temples to strange gods. Amen. As far as we know, he died, amen, with that on his heart. I said, God, why aren't there more? Why you got so many examples of failures? Amen. I'll tell you why. We can learn from their failures. These things were written for our examples. And we would learn not to lust as they lusted. And we'd learn not to murmur as they murmured. And we'd learn not to fornicate as they fornicated. Oh, we can live, amen, a godly and a holy life and overcome, amen, based on their example. Hallelujah. It is amazing that the thousands of years of history that mankind is still making the same mistakes. It is amazing that with thousands of years of Bible history that people in the church continue to fall in the same pitfalls, the same traps. Even the Bible gives you warning. It tells you where the traps are. You can avoid them if you'll just heed the Word of God. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Israel benefited from great experiences. Brother Jonathan, they were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. They did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. They benefited from the presence of the Lord. A cloud by day, a fire by night. God's, amen, caused the rocks to spew forth water. Their shoes didn't wear out. They were beneficiaries of the blessings of God. Yet they rebelled against God.
Amen.
They lusted after evil things. They committed idolatry with stones and statues. They committed fornication with strange people. They tempted God over and over again. They murmured against Him. God will not wink at our sin, brother and sister. God will never. He didn't excuse Israel. He's not going to excuse you and I. Amen. God did judge Israel for their sin. There were occasions when God did judge very quickly. And the ground swallowed up. The Bible said 23,000 died in one day. That's a fast judgment, Sister Misty. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. Fire came out of heaven and devoured some. Serpents came into the camp and bit others, poisoning them, whereby they died. But the vast majority of those that sinned against God in the wilderness were judged over a 40-year period of time. This is what our text in Hebrews tells us about God's judgment. But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Amen. Come on, somebody. To whom He swore unto them that they would not enter into His rest. Amen. Some died quickly. Others, it took 40 years for them to die. The slow judgment is worse than the quick judgment. God was grieved with their sin of unbelief when they rejected the promised land, and He swore that that generation would not enter into rest. You know the story. Amen. They got to the promised land. Amen. They sent 12 spies into the land. 12 of them, one from each of the tribes of Israel. Amen. They went over there. They saw wondrous things when they got there. They saw grape clusters so large that it took two men to carry. Now, I've been to HEB. I ain't seen none like that yet. Come on, somebody. But they were so big of a cluster. I'm going to tell you, God's blessing was there.
Yeah.
It was so big they put a pole between two men and draped a cluster of grapes over them. And they had to tote them back like that. Come on, somebody. Amen. When they got back, amen, from that spying out the land. Amen. Joshua asked them, or Moses asked them, what'd you see? Amen. Joshua and Caleb jumped to their feet and said, oh, it's everything God said it is. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's blessings everywhere. He said, oh, the fruit's growing there like you never believed. Everything God told us it was and more. It's time to go get it. Let's go get it right now. But 10 of them stood up and said, hold on a second. Wait. There's some things you need to know first. Yep, it's just like Joshua and Caleb said it is, but there's giants there.
Yeah.
The sons of Anak, towering 10 feet over all of us. Come on. Oh, there's walled cities that are so walled and defensible, amen, that it'll make you quake in your boots. He said, when we looked at how powerful they were, we were grasshoppers compared to them. Come on, somebody. You're talking about embellishment. Come on, I said, you're talking about embellishment. All of a sudden, they went from a 10-foot tall giant to a giant that's about 100 foot tall. Come on. We're grasshoppers compared to them. We can't take it. Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yes, we can. Let's go. Hallelujah. Amen. God was angry with them because they didn't believe Him. They'd already seen the Red Sea part in half. They'd already seen God turn a muddy lake bed into a paved highway. They'd already seen manna falling out of the sky and God feeding His people. They'd just walk out of the tent, rake up a bunch, put it in a pot and take it in and cook it. They'd already seen the bitter waters of Marah. He'd been turned sweet by the power of God. They'd seen the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt, totally decimated by God. But they refused to believe that God could give them that land that He already said He would give them. Whew. And then they began to renege after they knew God was angry. Well, I guess we will go ahead and try to take it. But it all backfired on them. God's done made His mind up now.
Right.
And God says, I'm going to judge you. And He didn't cause 23,000 to die at one moment. He let them wander around. Come on, somebody. For 40 years, He used one generation to birth another.
Wow.
He used them.
Amen.
Don't tell me God's not a user. He is a user sometimes. He used one generation to birth another. And when he was done with them, he let them die. Come on, somebody. No, people don't like to think about God like that.
Sir.
Come on, somebody. There's a whole side of God that people don't even know about today in America.
Amen.
There's a God that caused the earth to be flooded. There's a God that caused fire to come out of heaven and burn Sodom and Gomorrah to crisp. And there is a God that allowed one generation to wander for 40 years and slowly waste away to nothing as long as they could birth another generation.
Amen.
I'm talking about the wandering judgment.
Yes, sir.
You see, the fast judgment seems a lot more humane. But that slow judgment of wandering in circles for 40 years. And the Bible said their carcasses fell in the wilderness. I could look at that in my mind's eye. And I could see Israel, a host of them, marching through the wilderness. And behind them, little dots all through the desert where carcasses fell. They fell in that desiccated wilderness, in that dry land, and the bodies lay out there for the vultures as they kept on marching. And they said, what in the world's going on, Brother Mark? God's judging a generation because of unbelief. I read in my text, even in them was an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I want you to know, when you don't believe God, when you don't take Him at His word, even when you don't trust Him, even you're actually departing from what He said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God was grieved with their sin of unbelief when they projected the promised land. He swore to that generation, you will not enter into my rest. Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years as God allowed them to birth a new generation and then die. The writer of Hebrews says, her carcasses fell in the wilderness. Even that which had been judged by God is nothing but a carcass.
Amen.
In my mind's eye, I can see it. This is the wandering judgment. It's not quick and painless, but it's slow, a slow wasting away every day until finally they succumb to exhaustion and fell in the desert. Why would God pass such a cruel judgment on His people? Because of unbelief. The Bible speaks of unbelief as this, and it is never viewed as a minor thing, folks. Hebrews 3:12 said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We must understand that unbelief is akin to calling God a liar. God will not tolerate such. Well, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. You don't call God a liar. Backsliding is the sin of unbelief. A person that backslides is a person that moves backwards away from what they already know. Think about this. As they move backwards, as they backslide, they keep truth that they know in plain view as it recedes into the distance. No one backslides ignorantly. Everybody that backslides does it with knowledge. Hallelujah. Even notice that God considers unbelief as evil. The reason unbelief is evil is because it is done after belief is known. Before unbelief can be manifested, belief must be manifested. Unbelief is the rejection of a known belief. It is a refusal to continue in what you know is right.
Amen.
This was the sin of Israel. They saw God work miracles, yet they chose to doubt Him. They chose not to believe Him. Come on, somebody. They saw the provision of the water from the rock. They saw the provision of the manna. They saw their indestructible clothing and shoes. Amen. They saw knee-deep quail. They saw the bitter waters made sweet. They saw the glory of God on Moses' face. Yet they still chose to doubt God. They still chose to reject God's word. They had within themselves an evil heart of unbelief. When Israel reached the promised land, they didn't see God's power to deliver. They saw failure. Don't you know, folks, if God ever done anything for you, if He's ever done anything for you, He hadn't changed. If he's ever showed you his power, he's still just as powerful today.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody said, why are you preaching this, Brother Mark? I'm trying to warn you about falling into the same trap that Israel fell into. It ain't enough just to see a miracle. You've got to keep walking with him. It's not enough to see displays of supernatural power. You've got to walk in truth, brother and sister. Amen. Israel's fault was not their knowledge of miracle. Their fault is that they didn't stay true to what they knew. Hallelujah. The wilderness was dotted with the desiccated corpses of those that fell in victim to God's judgment. They died of the wandering judgment. If I were to stop my message right here, we could all look around. We could all look at the Israelites and we could say, shame on them. But this message must be brought into our lives today. You see, the message of what took place with the Israelites is relevant to you and me. The sin of unbelief, the sin of doubting God is still prevalent today. God is still a miracle working God. He's still of God's judgment. God can judge quickly or He can consign a person to wander in circles until they perish under the weight of their own sin and unbelief. I believe that what we're seeing today is a generation of people that have already been condemned to wander in circles under the auspices of the wandering judgment. Look at the prophet Amos has to say about this time in the future. Amos chapter 8 verses 11 through 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12. But they shall wander from sea to sea, from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. I want you to understand. Amen. I know that prophecy is directed towards Israel. But there is a connotation that applies to you and I. We must understand, if a person doesn't accept what God says in His Word, all of it, and walk in unbelief.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say to you that we're seeing the wandering judgment today in our world. We are especially seeing it right here in America. People are running from conference to conference looking for a word from God. They're traveling from convention to convention looking for a new message. Men and women are driving from one city to another looking for another revival, another camp meeting, another workshop, another gathering, another gospel singing, another seminar to help them with their dilemma. But they're not finding what they're looking for. Why? Because they're already under the judgment of God. They rejected God's word and said He would deliver them from sin and set them free. They have unbelief and God is past judgment.
Yeah.
Whoo! How is it that we can believe God can part a Red Sea, but He can't deliver a man from sin?
Yeah, come on now.
How is it that we can believe that Jesus can come, die on a cross, and be resurrected on the third day, but that same God can't bring us out of bondage of sin? I'm telling you, the very fact that religion today has rejected the deliverance from sin is a sign of unbelief.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They rejected the message from heaven that would set them free. They doubted that God would ever deliver them from their habits, their lust, and their hatred. Now God has consigned them to the wandering judgment. The young people run after the newest contemporary Christian group and artist, hoping to receive a new spiritual high. But they come home just as bound, just as depraved, just as lonely, and just as wicked as before they left. The Christian bookstores are filled with thousands of books telling people the seven steps to victory. Yet they follow all seven steps and they're still bound in sin. TVN runs 24 hours a day in America, yet we're still murdering babies at the tune of 3,700 a day. People are running to and fro looking for a word from God. I'm here to tell you, they're under the wrath of wandering judgment.
Amen.
From sea to shining sea, they wander looking for a new word from God. I was at a meeting some years ago. Somebody come up to me before I preached. You know, yeah, you're talking before church. Said, you got a word for me tonight? I knew what they were talking about. Are you going to call me out and give me some smooth prophecy? You going to have a word for me tonight? I said, yes, sir, I got a word for you. And I said, I'm going to give it to you at the same time I give it to everybody else. Woo! That ain't what he wanted. Hallelujah. Even that bunch is running around with itching ears.
Yeah.
Come on. They're looking for somebody to scratch the itch. They're looking for somebody to come up with some new thing, some new doctrine, some new experience. Oh, come on. Amen. We barked like dogs last week. We'll moo like a cow this week. I'm going to tell you, God ain't in none of it. But he's looking for somebody that'll live right, that'll live holy, that'll come out of the world and be separate. Hallelujah. Woo. The whole time they look for supernatural experiences. They reject the clear teachings of the Word of God. It says Jesus can set you free from sin. Who the Son therefore makes free is free indeed. I want you to know I'm free this morning. I said I'm free. I'm not a victim of unbelief. I believe in the living God that breaks the chains, that sets me free, that gives me liberty in Christ. That is my joy. Hallelujah. Amen. They have ears to hear. They cannot hear. Why? Because they are under the divine judgment of God. Like Israel of old, people have continually doubted God's power to deliver them from their enemies. They doubted that God could deliver them from sin and give unto them a land of holiness. In the Old Testament, the enemies of Israel are often depicted as foreign oppressors, tyrant kings, overwhelming odds, and even giants. God would give to His people from times of revival the power to overcome these enemies. Wonderful. Look at David with me just for a moment. He's famous for three victories that all happened by the time he was 15 years old. He killed a lion, he killed a bear, he killed a giant. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that he did a lot of great exploits, but those exploits stand out. Killed a lion. He killed a bear. He killed a giant. Woo, come on somebody. Shout at me. Hallelujah. The New Testament sums up this verse. Sums up our victory over the world in this verse. 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Like David of old, we can overcome the lion of the lustful flesh, the bear of the lustful eye, and the giant of the pride of life. Amen. Yet they continue to believe it's not possible. Hallelujah. God has given to them a slow judgment. Instead of quickly perishing due to unbelief, they're wandering in a religious circuit filled with the endless chatter of Kenneth Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, Jesse Duplantis, and Joyce Myers. Yet no word from God. Why? Because they're under the wrath of the wandering judgment. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, the good news is this. You and I are here, and we have ears to hear, and the Spirit has something to say to us.
Amen.
We cannot lose sight of the fact that God will speak to His remnant. Some will hear, some will not hear. 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 and 2 said, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Amen. We know that to be true. But I love John 16 and 10. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He shall speak. Amen. Come on. And He will show you things to come. The good news, brother and sister, is we don't have to suffer under the wandering judgment. We don't have to have ears that are stopped up. And we can hear the voice of God once more out of heaven. Oh, come on, somebody. Into Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Into the blood of sprinkling. Amen. That speaketh better things than that of Abel. He refused not him that speaketh. Or if they escape not, who refused? refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Oh, come on. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more shake I not the earth only, but heaven also. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore he receiveth the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. That's right.
I hear him, brother. Said, don't refuse him that speaketh. There's people that can't hear, but there's those that can. Woo! I look at our sad nation. Now I'll tell you, the religious climate is so sad. It's totally, totally depraved now. But I see a people that can hear from God. Woo! Hallelujah. I see a people that still have a ear to heaven. Some are wandering in circles without a goal, without a purpose. But there are people like Paul that said, I'm pressing towards the mark. Hallelujah. Woo! That's a people with a goal. Hallelujah. He said, I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have a goal. And my heart breaks for those that are already under the divine judgment of God. But there is a remnant. And God's going to pour His Spirit out on that people. Stand with me all over this building.